In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now we're getting to the time, brothers and sisters, where the Lord is going to be captured and his trial is going to begin. That's why he says in the gospel, his hour is now at hand. There's basically a few themes in this gospel for Great Wednesday Matins. But as is usual, as is my usual bent, I'll focus on a couple things that I think really should touch the soul. The whole overall background is necessary to know. So it's necessary to know the gospel well, to read it this week, to read it all throughout the year, to hear it read in totality, because the entire gospel can't be preached about. And even if I did preach about it and you stayed awake for it and alert for it, you have to read the gospel in order for it to become known to you. You have to read it with expectation and often, not just hearing it in church. But there are a few themes here. There's the plotting of the leaders throughout this entire selection, and there's our Lord's prediction of his death by the cross. And then all throughout this selection is the Lord speaking about what following him means. And there are two outstanding things in my mind that we should take note of, because it's a mystery in my mind why these things happen. I mean, in general, I think we know why it happens. When people are sinful, they don't know the things of God. But it's a mystery to me how people who hear the word don't hear it. People who say that they're Christian don't understand what it means to be Christian. This happened to the Jews. The Jews had been hearing our Lord's preaching. They heard him speak about the cross. They heard him speak about the sign of Jonah, being 3 days in the belly of the fish, 3 days in the earth. And they didn't understand. And they understood the scriptures. They understood about Christ being the Son of David and Christ being eternal. So they, when the Lord said, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me," they said, they understood that to be the cross. The people answered him and said, "We've heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever, and how sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Who is this Son of Man? He spent 3 years telling them who the Son of Man was. He referred to himself as the Son of Man many, many times. That's a title that comes from Daniel. It's a messianic title. It is referring to Christ being literally the Son of Man, the Son of Mary, therefore a human being. And it's a title that is only applied to Christ, to the God-man Jesus Christ. They didn't understand. I think this is a lesson for us. What is it that we don't understand? As a pastor, I'm continually surprised at things that people don't know that are basic. I'm not talking about basic theological points. I don't care if you know what happened in the Third Ecumenical Council. But basic points of moral living, basic points of what it means to be a decent person and therefore to become like Christ. People hear, but they do not hear. And I think it really happens to all of us to some extent. Have you ever had the experience of hearing something read that you suddenly understand and you'd heard it dozens of times before? That happens to me all the time. It's a mystery why it is that our sins so obscure from us the truth. I've read the gospel many, many times, and yet I haven't inculcated it into my heart. I don't understand it. Parts of it, yes, but in totality, no. And that's because of the mystery of iniquity, of sin making us stupid, as I say. Sin makes you stupid. And it's a mystery how it is that people come to an understanding of the truth. I still don't understand how it happens. In fact, I don't understand why I became Orthodox. I can give you a chronology and a history, but I don't really understand how God touched my heart to make me know about the truth. Thank God that he did. But I think we should take this as a warning. You can be religious. You can know stuff. But you can also not know the essence of things and what is truly important. Now, the Lord was speaking just before this about, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone, but if it die, it beareth much fruit. And then he talked about, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it to life eternal. This moral teaching that we must be willing to die, that is, die to sin, die to things that are already death, and follow the Lord, hate the things in our life that are not life, hate the things in the world that are not life. That's what this really means, not to hate your life as if you're wanting to hurt yourself, but hating that which is not really life, but appears to be life. This moral teaching is, if we follow it, makes us able to understand the Scripture and all things concerning God. You cannot understand God without becoming morally perfected. It's just not possible. So that's a lesson for us, a lesson for me, and I hope for you. And then there is another outstanding part of this gospel that is frightening to me. And that is where the chief rulers believed on him. It said many of them believed. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Now, if you know anything about St. John, he's called the Apostle of Love. St. John, for him to say that stinging rebuke of those who did not confessed Christ, that's very significant. St. John wouldn't say something like that about somebody normally. They love the praise of men. I see that happening in our lives. And maybe it's not always the praise of men. Maybe it's just fear of what men would do to you. Fear that somebody would say that you're weird or that you're fundamentalist or that you're unloving or something else. Of course, in our world now, any sin is acceptable except to say that there's sin. And there are Christians who are afraid to speak out about sin. There are Christians who are afraid to live righteously because the world laughs at them for doing that. And even if you're not such a Christian, does your pride make you do things that you shouldn't do? Are you interested in how men look at you rather than God? That's a very common sin. Very few people are immune to this sin, to care more about what other people think than what God thinks. And these two things are intertwined, these two things that I've mentioned, because the people didn't understand, the rulers were afraid of the Pharisees. It was their sins that kept them from knowing the truth. And in the case certainly of the rulers, and the people too, who were also afraid of being cast out of the synagogue, it was their own self-interest that kept them from knowing God. The greatest sins are those in which we care only for ourselves, in which we consider what's in it for me, what is good for me. Those are terrible sins, because those are sins against love of neighbor and against love of God. By all means, at all cost, don't do those sins. If you have weaknesses, I don't care what they are, if you have weaknesses, bad habits, bad sins, but you love your neighbor, God will make you victorious over those bad habits and bad sins and will give you enlightenment But a person who lives a righteous life but does not have love for God and neighbor, that person is lost. And so these rulers, they were lost. They saw the truth, but they were afraid to express it. So as we read this entire passage, and we'll read much more in the coming days, we'll see over and over how men were cowards, or they were self-interested. They were murderers for their own purposes. They were liars for their own purposes. Those are terrible sins that you must flee from. That's why I think we have that communion prayer that we say every time we commune. And let me not give a kiss like Judas did. May God help us to follow the way of Christ with courage. God will give you courage if you truly desire to follow Him and don't want to just do things your own way according to your own purposes. May God bless us and help us in all things. Amen.